Shabbos say good morning. Let's begin. So we are up to today is Daf Dalid in Maseches Ksuvos. So we left off. Thank you, Alan. On Gimel Amud Beis, right on 3B. So we'll say, remember, we're picking up actually towards the end over here. V by Seima, four lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, remember again, we had a Bryce, a very interesting Bryce, and the Bryce has said that although Besula Nisays Liomaravi, so Besula gets married on Tuesday, but remember, if there's a Sakana, you can push it back to Tuesday. And the Gemara said, if there's an Oni, so Rava said, if there's an Oni, some type of extenuating circumstance, you could even get married on a Monday. So the Gemara yesterday was trying to figure out what the extenuating circumstance is. So now the Gemara is going back to Vibayis Ema, my machmas ha'ones. What does ones mean? Right? What's the case of ones? Kedesanya, this is an interesting case. Hari shahaya pito afoy v'tavcho tavach. So listen to this. The chas and kal ready to get married. And mamish, the wedding feast is ready to go. The bread was baked. The meat was shechted. V'yein no mazug. The wine was already diluted. Also remember, these are points already where the food is already prepared. Therefore, again, if you don't use it now, there's going to be spoilage. Umeis aviv shal chasan al imo shal kala. And the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala died. So we'll say, what is the halacha in such a situation? Machnisen es hameis lecheder. We put the body into a room. Ve'es hachasan ve'es hakala lechupa. We go to and take the chasan and kala to the chupa. Uboa bi'ilas mitzvah. And they're permitted to be together that night. Uporesh, and then they must separate afterwards. The noheg, now we'll say what the Gemara does not state explicitly, but it's understood, is then they bury the deceased parent. The noheg shivas yemei amishta, but because there was chuppah already, therefore again, the sheva brachos, the personal simcha of marriage, has already devolved upon the chasan and kala, so they observe sheva brachos, and after sheva brachos, va'achar kach, noeg shivas yemei avelus. And afterwards, they go ahead, and after the sheva brachos are over, they go ahead and they observe shiva. V'chol osan ayamim, right? V'chol osan ayamim, and all of those days, the microphone is very sensitive, by the way, to the, right? V'chol osan ayamim, right? All of the days, hu yashen bein hanashim, v'hi yishena bein hanashim. We'll say all of those days. Now, those days is a reference over here to sheva brachas. All of those days of sheva brachas, he goes out and sleeps with the men, and she sleeps with the women. I will say, now that's another way of saying that we do not permit them to be alone together out of concern that they will be intimate with one another. Now I will say, just understand what's happening over here. So if you look at the first Rashi, Rashi says, Oviru poresh v'yikparu es hameis miyad. So after the bi'ilas mitzvah, they go ahead and they bury the dead. D'cheivan d'chal av chasina havi l'gabei keregel v'lo asya avelos v'chayla v'noig shivas yamishtah. Because after the chuppah occurs, it becomes like a yomtiv for the chasin and kal, and just like on regular avelos. So avelos does not trump yomtiv. Yomtiv trumps avelos. So too over here. So the yomtiv of the chasan and kala sheva brachos will go ahead and take precedence, and shiva will not devolve upon them. However, again, those days of sheva brachos, Rashi points out, hu yashen, Rashi says, because even during the sheva brachos, they are obligated, whoever is the avel is obligated to keep what we call dvarim shebetzina. Dvarim shebetzina means in the laws of avelos, remember this from our moed katan days, that in avelos there are two different types of behaviors. There are what's called dvarim shebefarhes, you have public displays of mourning, and dvarim shebetzina, which are private displays of mourning. So the halacha is that during sheva brachos, public displays of mourning do not apply, but private displays of mourning do. One of the most important aspects of Dvarim Shebetzina, private displays of mourning, is a prohibition on intimacy. So therefore, again, Navose, under normal circumstances, we would trust the husband and wife to not be intimate, because this is a chas and a kala, they've just been together for the first time, and they're eager, again, to probably be together again. Therefore, lemaisa, we separate them. Now, again, separating them doesn't necessarily have to mean that they're literally sleeping in two different pieces, it just means there can't be yichud. However you choose to, we'll get more into this, however you choose to go ahead and avoid a yichud situation, the point is they can't be alone with one another. Back to the Gemara. And we allow the kala to adorn herself all 30 days. Let's say it was the kala's mother who died. So after sheva brachos, she's observing shiva afterwards. She's still permitted to adorn herself. Jewelry, makeup, whatever else, tachshitin, for the 30 days. Even though normally in avelos, the avel does not go ahead and put on jewelry or makeup or other things like that. But we have a special sensitivity over here, is that we do not want her to look unattractive to her husband in the beginning stages of their marriage. V'dafka, the Gemara qualifies this, V'dafka, Aviv shal chasen o ima shal kala. But Rabbo said, this is dafka what? Now this is not any relative. This is only applies if it's the father of the chasen or the mother of the kala who dies. Rabbo said, why these people? Deleka inish the tarachlu. Because Rabbo said, these are the two people who were really the major individuals who would go ahead and make the wedding for the chasen and kala. It was the father of the chasen and the mother of the kala who are the two most pivotal parental figures. So if one of those people die, and what? They put the wedding on hold. Chances are that what? They're going to have a very difficult time recreating the resources for that wedding again. So because we are concerned that the chasen and kala will not have sufficient resources if we delay the wedding, therefore what? We allow the wedding to take place right now. So Rabbosa, just to understand, aval ipchalo, but if it was the opposite, meaning if it was the mother of the chasen or the father of the kala, what we would say in that situation is no, bury the dead, observe Shiva, and then do the, well, when you would do the chasen, it would be interesting, according to what we learned in the Moed Khan, probably after Shloshim. Not after Shiva, but the point is you would bury the dead, Shiva, and then marriage afterwards. Now, I will say, now just understand this in context. So remember, the Gemara is trying to figure out what Rava meant when he said that if there was a case of ones, if there was an extenuating circumstance, you could even get married on a Monday. This would be the case of ones, and by the way, it's not just limited to Monday. This is true whatever day of the week this happens. What the Gemara is saying over here is if they're geared up, they're ready to go out and do a wedding. But then Lemaise, it turns out that what? But then Lemaise, it turns out that somebody died, and if you bury the dead now, you will lose out on the resources for the wedding, and the necessary people will not be there to gather those resources again. You get married first, bury Sheva Brachos, and then Shiva afterwards. I'm a Rav from Bar Papa. I'm a Rav Chista. Lo shanu ela shanasan mayim agabe baser. So also Rav Chista further qualifies this. Now, remember, the major loss you're going to have over here is what? Is with the flesh, is with the meat, right? Because the truth is bread generally was not such an expensive commodity. And already, again, you could use it. You could see a little bit easier to sell wine. Just drink it, right? You know, that's easy. It's a joke. All right, tough crowd. All right. So, right, the big expense, of course, was the meat. That if you're already prepared the meat. So Rav Chista says that when do we say that the wedding must go on? Because if it doesn't, there's going to be a significant collateral loss. That's only when they put the water on top of the meat. Meaning, they began, Rashi says, Shana samay magabe basar, shuv in a roi l'machlo b'makolin. Once you put water on the meat, you can't sell that anymore because the process of cooking has already begun. Therefore, again, no one's going to buy it. But if you did not yet put the water on top of the meat, you could still sell off the meat. So in that kind of case, Rav Chista would say, you would not go forward with the wedding. Rather, again, you would first bury the dead, observe Shiva, and then only afterwards get married because you're able to sell off the meat. Amar Rava, Rava says, but 1 second. Ubekrach, in a large city, Rava said, well, not totally true. If you live in a big city, Rava said, now what's the chap in a big city? There are many, many people. Many people. And therefore, again, there's always someone who's willing to buy something. Then in that case, even if you put water on the meat, you could still go ahead and sell the meat. Amarat Papa, ubikfar in a village, afa pishalonos and mahimagabe basalom is dabin. But in a village, even if what? Even if you did not put water on the meat, you could still have a big problem that there might not be somebody who's willing to buy it. So the process, here's the problem. So now Rav Chista made this statement that if you put water on the meat, then you can't sell it. That's when you have to go forward. That's when you go forward and you go ahead and you go forward with the wedding. And if you don't put water on the meat, then lemais, again, what? You can sell it. But now we have two qualifications. So Rava said, in a large city, even if you put water, you can sell it. And in a village, if you don't put water on, even if you don't put water, you can sell it. So where does Rav Chista's qualification ever come up? In a place like Masa Mechasya, the Mafka Mikrach or Mafka Mikfar, that Masa Mechasya isn't exactly categorized as a large city, but it's also not a small village. And therefore, in a place like Masa Mechasya, what they're both saying, place like Masa Mechasya, if you put water on the meat already, no one's going to sell it. If no one's going to sell it, then Lemaisa what? Then Lemaisa is going to cause incredible collateral loss. Therefore, go forward today. And I want to be clear. This all builds on the previous qualification that who died? either father of the chassan or mother of the kala. These are the only two individuals who, if they die, have an, according to the Gemara, have an impact on the proceedings or ability to recreate the wedding at a later date. So now, Rav Chista is building on this. Rav Chista said, even in a case where the mother of the chassan, mother of the kala, or father of the chassan died, you still only go forward with the wedding if you can't recapture the cost of the meat. What does that mean? You can't recapture the cost of the meat if you already put water on it. Then you're not going to be able to sell it. But if you can recapture the cost of the meat, then you would, in fact, delay the wedding until after the Shiva. So the Gemara says, what's an example of a place where you can't recapture the cost of the meat? Like Masa Mechasya, where it's not exactly a krach, it's not exactly a large city, and it's not exactly a kfar, it's not exactly a village. So in a place like Masa Mechasya, if they put water on the meat, then Lemaisa, again, you can't sell it. But if they didn't, you would be able to sell it. We have a braisa that supports Rav Chista. Hare shahaisa shahaya pito afuya. If they were getting ready for the wedding, and they were meaning them, they were mamish ready to go, the bread was already baked, v'tivcho tavuach, and that in the meat was already slaughtered, the yeno muzzled, and the wine was already diluted, the nasan mayim al gabi basar, and what happened? And they placed the water already on the meat, and then what happens? Umeis aviv shel chasan. O ima shel kala, then the father of the chassan, the mother of the kala died. What's the halacha? Machnisin es hameis lecheder. We place the corpse, we place the body in a room. The es hachassan ves hakala lechupa, and we take the chassan and kala to the chupa. U boel bi'ilas mitzvah. They're permitted to be together. We call Rabosa bi'ilas mitzvah is the first biyah. Uporesh, then they separate, meaning that, as we said before above, that they cannot have yichud with one another, they cannot be alone with one another. V'noik shivas yimei amishta, they observe sheva brachos, albeit with, again, some of the personal private displays of mourning. V'achal kach noik shivas yimei avelos. And then they observe 7 days of Shiva. V'chol osan hayomim, and all of those days of Sheva Brachas, hu yashen bein ha'anoshim, v'ishto yishena bein ha'anoshim, he sleeps among the men, and his wife sleeps among the women, i.e., they're not alone together. And so, we'll say, so just pause here for just a moment. So this Braisa clearly builds in the qualification of Rav Chista. Because remember, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa explicitly said that when do we consider that the wedding is ready to go and you pass the point of no return. What did the Braisa say? When you put the water on top of the meat. That was Rav Chista's qualification. V'chein, now this Braisa adds in another piece. V'chein, mi shepirsa ishto nida. So to Rabbi say, if somebody's wife became a nida, now Rashi qualifies this as b'chnisasa l'chupa, that if they're about to get married and underneath the chupa, she becomes a nida. She becomes a nida. So what's the halacha? Hu yashin bein ha'anoshim, v'hi yashena bein ha'anoshim. So I'll say what happens. So they are not permitted to have yichud. They're not permitted to be alone together after the chuppah. So literally, he sleeps with the men, and she sleeps with the women. Ve'in monin tachshitin. Well, we're gonna explain each of these pieces. Ve'in monin tachshitin min akala kol lamid yom. And I'll say, remember, if the kala is in avelos, let's say again it was her mother that died. See, even after sheva brachas is over, now she has her 7 days of shiva. Even throughout the entire shloshim, we allow her to adorn herself. You put on her jewelry, whatever else, in order that she should look beautiful for her husband. He says, "Ve'im morin tashidim in akala kol amid yom benkach lo yivol lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo b'matzei Shabbos." I will say we keep every price that we've quoted so far in the last two daf has added this in as well. Again, we'll examine this. But either way, the first bia can't occur in erev Shabbos. So I will say we already alluded to this in the beginning of yesterday's daf. That the issue of Erev Shabbos over seems to be Friday night, Shabbos night, out of the concern that the first bia creates bleeding, creates a chabur, and therefore be aser. But again, we'll examine this more in depth. V'lo b'matzei Shabbos. Now this price adds in that the bia rishona can't occur on matzei Shabbos either. Okay, we don't know why that is yet. We'll see. Amar Mar. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes back and analyzes this. Amar Mar. Hu yashin bein ha'anashin, v'hi yashin l'bein ha'anashin. So we'll remember, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that l'maisa, this is during Sheva Brachas. During Sheva Brachas, after one of their parents died, so as much as the Bia Rishon is permitted, they can't be alone together, right, afterwards. He sleeps with the men, she sleeps with the women, and same thing, by the way, with Pirsa Nida. If she became a Nida, going into the Chuppah. So the Misayel Rabbi Yochanan, this supports the Bia Rabbi Yochanan, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Afa Pi Sha'amru, ein avelus b'moi, because Rabbi said, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said that lemaisa, even though we said that there is no avelus b'moed on a Yom Tov, nevertheless, what? Aval dvarim shel tzinah noheg, but nevertheless, private displays of mourning still apply. Now, I will say, now, what's interesting over here is the following. If you look, I'm sorry?
They're already married. I don't understand why the rabbis are legislating that they have to separate.
Because we're concerned that they're going to be intimate again.
But you could be any time.
Oh, sure, we're going to get to that. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, so we'll say this is interesting. So the Gemara says, this reflects to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, even though there's no external avelos on Yom Tov, however, private displays of mourning still apply. Now, I will say, now understand, we actually don't paskin that way by Yom Tov. For our purposes, by Yom Tov cancels out mourning. Where this does apply is Shabbos. On Shabbos, all external displays of mourning are lifted, but private behaviors still apply. So the truth is, when the Gemara says moed over here, the Gemara is using this loosely to describe Sheva Brachos. We know that when a chassan and kala get married, so during Sheva Brachos, their Sheva Brachos are a moed, are yantiv. There's so many jokes to make about this, I'm not going to do it. All right, so it's a yomtiv. So let's say, so the idea over here is, we see from this brisa that what? That because it's their yomtiv, so public displays of mourning are suspended, but private displays of mourning still apply, and that's why, again, we forbid them to be intimate with one another. Now, what's bothering Menachem, what's the driving force over here is that we have a more acute concern over here, because since they're newlyweds, there's a greater desire and a greater connection for them to be intimate. So therefore, again, that's why Chazal felt the need to put in an additional safeguard over here, not just to tell them you can't be intimate, but to go ahead and force them literally to be in separate places, or at least to somehow avoid yichud by having someone else present, as almost like a fail-safe to prevent any kind of intimacy. But we're going to go more into it now. So the Gemara says, Darash Rav Yosef Lo shanu ella. Mostly, listen to this. Lo shanu ella. Now, important qualification. Shelo baal. Now, we'll say. So now comes along Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is the name of Rava. When do we say that there's an iser yichud on the chasan and kala? That's only when if they didn't have relations. Aval baal ishto yishena imo. But if they had relations, then there is no issue of yichud. There is no issue of them being alone with each other. Rav Yosef. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo shanu de'ein ne'eman lis yachid." When do we say that they are not permitted to be alone together? Ella shelo ba'al, where they did not have relations, and therefore, in a case like that, the takif le yitzrei, the yitzhar is very strong, and we're afraid that he's going to have relations with her. However, the ba'al, so therefore, however, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rabbi Yosei, is what? That when there were relations already, then lemaisa, again, we permit them to do yichud. Rabbi Yosei, this is very lemaisa all the time. Why? Because think about the following. When a woman is in Nida, she's an erva. Right, she's prohibited. So normally there's an iser yichud with an erva. Right, you're not allowed to be alone. You're not allowed to be secluded with a woman who is an erva to you. So how is a man permitted to be alone with his wife who is a nida? So the answer is because they have had relations already, and because he knows that she is going to become permitted to him. What we call pas besalo, bread in the basket. That's the expression Chazal use. So we trust that people aren't going to engage in any kind of forbidden relationship. However, again, what Rav Yosef is suggesting over here is that when chasan and kala have not yet been together, and now they're finally married, if you allow them to be alone, their desire for one another is going to trump the halacha, and therefore, again, Rav Yosef is saying it's only when they haven't had relations that there's an isra yichud. But they've had relations already, then there's no isra yichud. Only one problem, says the Gemara, v'ha'acha d'babala skinon v'katani hu yashim in anashim v'yishim in anashim. Paul said, here's the problem. What is the Brisa talking about? Right? The Brisa is talking about a situation where what? They got married. The Brisa said what? We let them have Be'oel Be'ah Rishona, Be'as Mitzvah, and then Uporesh. So the Brisa is clearly talking about a case where there was Be'ah, and yet what? Is still mandating separation. To which the Gemara says, no. When was that stated? When was it? Now, what is Kik Amar? Look at Rashi. Kik Amar Rava Lo Shanu Apir Se Ishtanida Ka Amar Dechevan Dinida Chamura Ba Mehem and Allah De La Asila Zazuli Be Isser Kares. So when do we say this? When do we say this? Says the Gemara. Kik Amar. When do we say that Yichud is not necessary? I'm sorry. Kik Amar Apir Se Ishtanida. Right, Rabbi. So now here's what's interesting. When do we say that if they had relations, you don't have to worry about Yichud anymore? That's with Nida. When it, like that's what I just mentioned before, when it comes to Hilchos Nida, if they had relations, so even though, again, they are Asura, they are us Asurim to one another, but nevertheless, we let them be Miyachid, we let them have Yichud, and we're not worried something's going to occur. But in Avelos, we don't let them be alone together because we are afraid that something's going to occur. The Rabbo say, now, the underlying assumption of that is, Rashi says over here, Dechevan Denida Chamura, Baal Mehem and Allah, Dela Asi Lezazule Be Isser Kares. Because the assumption is that a person is going to be careful, much, very careful with the laws of Nida. Because since if a man intentionally has relations with a woman who's in Nida, it carries it a potential Isser Kares, a very, very, very serious prohibition. Therefore, again, a man is not going to violate an Isser Kares to be with his wife. So the Gemara says, V'chein Katoni. Excuse me, Gigar person Isha Nida. The Gemara says, 1 second. But that's not what the Brisa says. The Brisa says, V'chein. V'chein, meaning, we'll say, the wording of the Brisa is, V'chein mishepir se ishto nida, which sounds like what? That the law of Nida as expressed is the same as the law of Avelos expressed before. To which the Gemara says, Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say, V'chein mishepir se ishto nida, if a man's wife became a Nida, meaning both say, this is talking about like by the chuppah, below Baal, and therefore relations did not occur. Who yoshein bein ha'anoshim, he has to sleep among the men, v'ishto yoshena bein ha'anoshim, and ultimately again, she has to sleep among the women. So we'll say, therefore the Gemara is suggesting over here is what the Brisa means to say, is that if it was what's called the chupas nida, so chupas nida means she is a nida at the chupah, and therefore again, there could be no bia, therefore l'maisa, again what? L'maisa, there's an issa yuchna, we'll say you should know, that is actually halacha l'maisa, that if it turns out, we try to avoid a chupas nida if possible, but if a woman is a nida at the time of her wedding, there's absolutely an isra yichud for the chasan and kala, interestingly enough. But again, this isra yichud only applies when there wasn't a bia. But if there was a bia, there is no isra yichud between chasan and kala, or between husband and wife for that matter. So the Gemara says, lameimra. Now, are you telling me then, da'avelos kila lai minida? So essentially what you're telling me is that people are a little bit more willing to transgress the laws of Avelos more than Nida, right? Because how do we prove that? We prove that by the fact that when it comes to Nida, the only time there's an Isra Yichud is when if they didn't have relations. But if they've already had relations at least once, then Lemaisa, no Isra Yichud. But yet by Avelos, what you're telling me is what? That even if they were together, there's still an Isra Yichud. Why? Because we're afraid that if they're alone together, they're going to have Bia. They're going to have relations. So what that tells me is that people are much more willing to transgress the laws of Avelos than they are the laws of Nida, which are both say, of course, makes absolute sense. And I don't understand why, I mean, the Gemara shouldn't really be so bothered by that, because it's kind of obvious. The laws of Avelos, for the most part, Rabbi will say, are rabbinic in nature. Are virtually 99% of Hilchos Avelos are rabbinic in nature. So Hilchos Nida is not. Avelos doesn't carry with it, meaning, well, what can you get for violating the laws of Avelos? Maybe you can get, like, Malchus. You can get rabbinic lashes. Not so bad. Right? So you can get rabbinic lashes. Right? So certainly, again, Nida comes with Kores. But the Gemara's ask is from a halachic perspective. Listen to this. Now we're going to get this. This is going to be an exciting Mishnah later on. We're going to speak about all of the obligations that a woman has towards her husband. We're going to do this one offline, right? So kol malachos, right? All these services, right? All the malacha that a woman has to do for her husband. Nida osalabayla. Even a wife who is a nida is permitted to do for her husband, with a couple of exceptions. Chutz mimziga sakos, she can't pour. Now, mimziga sakos literally means dilution of his cup. But also remember, the way they used to make wine in times of the Gemara was you had wine concentrate, and every single time you wanted to make a glass of wine, you took a little concentrate, and you mixed it with water. That's called mimziga sakos. So when a woman is a nida, she can pretty much do all of her regular things that she does for her husband, except she can't mix his cup. She can't fix him a glass of wine. Rashi says over here, chutz mimziga sakos lahoshit lo, and to hand it to him. V'hatzas hamita, she can't make his bed. V'harchatzas panav yadav raglav, and she cannot wash his face, his hands, and his feet. I mean, you know, she does it all the other time, but not when she's a nida. V'ilugav yavelos, yet when it comes to avelos, Yet when it goes, now I want to be clear, do not go home and say tonight, the rabbi said, yeah, because again, I want to just be clear, I'm quoting to you a Gemara, I'm not taking a personal stance on this. Tanya, afa pi sha'amru, ein adam rashay lakof ezisho, but yet we have another braisa. So excuse me, v'yilugabi avelos, but yet when it comes to avelos, Tanya, we learned, afa pi sha'amru, ein adam rashay lakof ezisho, lios kocheles, v'lios pokeses, even though a man cannot go ahead and compel his wife, when she is mourning, to go ahead and put on blush, to put on makeup, or to color, or to put on eyeshadow. Pokeses and kocheles literally means like eyeshadow. Pokeses is like blush. Maveres srak alpaneha, some kind of cosmetics. So when she is in avelos, a husband should not compel his wife that she should put on makeup, that she should look beautiful. However, be'emes amru, mozeges logakos, umatzas lohamita, umarchetzes lopanav yadavaraglov. Yet what? Yet we allow for her to go ahead and mix and hand him his cup, make his bed, and wash his hands, face, and feet. So both say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that Lemaisa again, to a certain degree, that we see that the laws of Avelos are in fact more relaxed than the laws of Nida, to which the Gemara says, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan ba'avelos didei, kan ba'avelos dida. Also, the Gemara makes a very interesting distinction. Everything depends on who is in avelos, who is the mourner. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi. Rashi says, kan ba'avelos didei, li olam avelos kila leminida. In reality, you're right, avelos is in fact considered to be more kal than nida. V'hani masnisa, hachi mitareis ha'diktani le'el, hu yashin bein ha'anoshim. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. So based on the brayso we just saw over here is what? Is that avelos is more lenient, but yet above in the previous brayso indicates that what? That avelos is more chamer. Because after all, again, the halacha was that even after the bia rishona, he has to sleep with the men, she sleeps with the women. So Rakud Rashi says, so ba'avelos didei, v'ha'diktani mozeges lo ba'avelos dida. So the Gemara is discussing over here that it depends who's in avelos. The brayso that we quote on Amud Aleph that requires them to sleep separately, that's when the man is in avelos. The brayso over here that allows her to do certain things is in her avelos. Diktani ein rashe lakov, ama ba'avelos dida, kaiminon she'ina rotze likholifkos, v'haynu taima de mozeges, dimiskabri yisraelov, kevan da'avelos dida, hu eno shamaso. So listen to this. So the Gemara goes ahead and essentially espouses a very interesting idea, that a man, whether he's in mourning or anything else, will always have an interest in intimacy. And therefore, if it's his avelos, Chazal felt that they needed to take extra precautions in order to ensure that intimacy does not occur. Therefore, the first price on Amud Aleph, which was the case of the Chasan and Kala, and even though there was a bia, we still say what? He sleeps with the men, she sleeps with the women. That's the case of avelos today. That's the case of where the Chasan is in avelos. And we're concerned that even though the Chasan is in avelos, he will still have an interest in intimacy with his wife, and therefore, in order to prevent that, we make them sleep separately. However, when the woman is in avelos, and I will say this is an incredible yisod in general about how men and women view intimacy in very different ways. For a man, it is much easier just to simply focus on the physicality of intimacy. It's gratifying, it's enjoyable, and the truth is the emotional part of it doesn't have to play a role for the man. On the other hand, for a woman, the emotional part of intimacy is an exceptionally important part of the entire event and the entire framework of intimacy. And therefore, listen to this. It's fascinating. Chazal assume that if the woman is in avelos, nothing's going to happen, right? If the woman's in avelos, you don't have to be concerned. She could be right next to her husband. She could even be making his bed, because making one's bed is considered to be an act of intimacy. Even if she's making his bed, even if she's diluting his wine, he those things might arouse him, or those things might pique his intimate interest. But Lemais, again, if she's in a state of avelos, nothing doing. Nothing's going to happen. Therefore, when she's in a state, again, it's fascinating. So when he's in avelos, we still have to take extra precautions, because he may still be interested. When she's in avelos, even if he's interested, she is not. And therefore, lemaisa, again, we allow for certain leniencies. Quite interesting. But I'll tell you the problem with that. So now what you've told me is that the Brayson Amud Aleph is talking about a case of where the chassan lost his father. The problem is the Bryce explicitly says that what is it referring to? It's referring to either case of where the chassan loses his father or the kala loses her mother. So the Gemara says, ki katani ashara. No. When is that stated? That's stated regarding the rest of the Bryce. However, again, lemaisa, when we so meaning that when we speak about the death of the father of the chassan, the mother of the kala, that's talking about for all the other details of the brisa. But in terms of the idea that they have to sleep separately, that's only when it's the father of the chassan that dies. So the Gemara says, umi shayni bein avelos tidei la avelos tida. But yet, do we make a distinction between when the husband or the wife is in avelos v'atanya? But we learned mi shemes chamav ochamo. So, if somebody's father-in-law or mother-in-law died, eino yachol lokof es ishto lios kochalos lios pokeses. Let us say, listen to this. Let's say again, a man's mother-in-law or father-in-law died. His wife's mother or his wife's father. So what's the halacha? You should not compel your wife to go ahead and put on makeup, to put on her blush, or to put on her eye makeup. Right? Meaning, don't compel her to go ahead and look beautiful. Ela kofe mitaso v'nohik ima avelos. But rather, what does he do? Halacha lemaisa, he should overturn his bed and he should observe avelos along with her. Now, I will say, what the Gemara is discussing over here is this concept. Well, actually, we'll define it just a little bit. So therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, again, we don't make a distinction between his avelos and her avelos. Similarly, again, if the husband's parents died, one of the husband's parents died, she, the wife, ena rasha lios kochalos lios pokeses. She should not put on makeup. She should not make herself look beautiful during those days because her husband is in avelos. Ella kofe mitasa. She should overturn her bed. Venoheges imo avelos, and she should observe avelos along with him. So I'll say, so listen to this. So Tani, so therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, we don't make a distinction between his avelos and her avelos. Rather, Tani, here's what we should learn. Avelos tidei hu yashem bein ha'anashim v'ishtei yashena bein anashim ha v'chin katani. But one second, but how can you say that it's just referring to his avelos? The lashon ultimately of v'chin indicates that it's referring to both of the cases. To which the Gemara says, "V'ha imo katani, my love imo b'mita." V'chin katani ki katani akichol upirchos. That's referring ultimately again to her putting on a makeup. V'ha imo katani, but it says with him, my love imo b'mita. Doesn't that mean with him in the bed? Meaning that look at Rashi. My love imo b'mita ama avelos tidei nami mehemen. That even when he's in avelos, he's still okay. He's still believed. Lo imo babayis. Rather, what it means is that she's with him in the home. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? Lo imo babayis. For time alav mishum de mehemen naket elash mu'inon dein avelos muta aleha ella bifnim ella bifanov. So we'll say, let me explain this. Look at the next line. Kida amar le'rav chia lebrei. As Rav Chia said to his son, ba'apa, when you are in front of your wife, nahog avelusa. Observe avelos. In other words, Rabosai, that Rav Chia was saying to his son that if your wife is in avelos, when you are in her presence, you must observe the same laws of avelos as well. Delo ba'apa, but when you are not in her presence, lo tinag avelos, you do not have to go ahead and observe avelos practice. Now, Rabosai, we're going to see this fascinating halacha of that the halacha essentially says that any person for whom you would be obligated to mourn, right, say any one of your seven close relatives, when they themselves are in mourning for someone else, for one of their relatives who's not your relative, you have to observe mourning practices as well when they are mourning in front of them. So for example, if a person has a wife and the wife's father dies, the halacha says, and we'll discuss halacha in just a moment, the halacha says that if my wife is chas v'shalom sitting shiva, then when I am in her presence, I must observe shiva practices as well. When I am not in her presence, I do not have an obligation. We'll discuss what we do with that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, mi kamedamis avelos tahacha la avelos da'ama. We'll say, so Rav Ashi comes along and says, one second, you guys are mixing and matching a whole bunch of different cases. You're comparing the case, you're trying to take the case of avelos by a chasen and kala. That's what it means, avelos Tahacha, Avelos of our case over here of Chasan and Kala, and you're trying to compare it to Avelos in general, and you can't do that. Avelos da Alma Chamir, velo Asilos Ozulibin. I'm about to say, Avelos, normally Avelos, when it comes to Avelos, Avelos is strict, and people will not trespass on the laws of Avelos. Therefore, again, what is Rav Ashi saying? If a person becomes an Avel, there is no Isser Yichud with their wife. There's no siyachot teraith. People treat the laws of Avelos seriously, and we're not concerned that husband and wife are going to be intimate with one another. There's no iser yichud. Aye, but what? Avelos to ama chamir for the asil is really bad. Avelos to achabar bosa. In this case of the chasan and kala, what's our concern? Kevon to akil barabana bosa. Remember, we're already being makel in the laws of Avelos. How are we being makel in the laws of Avelos? The mother of the kala died. She died. She's shmam. She's laying there. She died. Right? And what are we doing? We're putting her in a room. Right? We're getting married. We're eating at the smorgasbord. They're having bia rishona. Right? They're going to have sheva brachas. And then they're going to... I mean, we bury her after the shmorg. Right? You know, I'm just kidding. We bury her. It's just a bad joke. Okay? We bury her after the wedding. Right? So we bury her after the wedding. But Lamais, it's the point thing we're saying over here. In this case over here, you're already being so lenient in the laws of Avelos. In this kind of case, there's a concern that what? There's a concern that because the Chasan and Kala have already seen us being makel on the laws of Avelos, that what? They may be makel as well. They may be intimate with one another over the course of Sheva Brachas. And therefore, again, in order to ensure that they are not more makel than allowed, then what? We say that they may not be together, right? Literally, no, there is an Isra Yichud over the course of Sheva Brachas. So the Gemara says, my kula, what leniency are you referring to? If you want to say that we allow them to be together, we allow them to have the Bias Mitzvah, and then they separate. The reason we allow Biyar Rishon Rabosa is why? Because the Avelos has not yet set in. Why not? Because Rabosa, Avelos only begins, remember, Avelos only begins when we remove the corpse from the home. Remember, the corpse is still in the home. It's in a separate room. So Avelos has not begun. According to Rabbi Yoshua, Avelos only begins when? When the grave is filled in. So either way, Avelos has not yet set in. If Avelos has not yet set in, there's no prohibition of that case. There's no kula being involved here. Ella, diktani noeg shiva simea mishta, v'achakach noeg shiva simea Avelos. Rather, the leniency is the fact that after the wedding, after the Bia Rishona, after the chuppah, when we then bury the deceased parent, then Bia Rishona occurs, and then there's Sheva Brachas. And then only after Sheva Brachas is there Shiva. So because already we're being so lenient with the Shiva and with the Avelos, there's a concern that Chasan and Kala may be lenient as well, and may be intimate with one another over the course of Sheva Brachas, even though again the private displays of mourning still apply. Therefore, in order to avoid that, what do? We say the Chasan and Kala must be separate. So I will say what comes out over here, the way this Gemara seems to end off, is the following. So first we've established that because people treat the Isra of Nida with incredible severity, there's no Isra of Yichud, there's no prohibition of Yichud with a wife who is in Nida. That's number one. And now even with Avelos, we seem to have made a distinction that if in a regular case of Avelos, we assume that people are careful with the halacha, and therefore no Isra Yichud when it comes to a regular case of Avelos. But in this particular situation of Chasan and Kala, because again, they see that we're already being so makel with the laws of Avelos, and that the Avelos is not going to begin until after Sheva Brachos occurs, that's when there's a concern that they too may be lenient with these halachos, and may be intimate with one another over the course of Sheva Brachos. In order to prevent that from occurring, we separate them, and he sleeps with the men, she sleeps with the women. I will say, what do we do halacha l'maisa? Because it's a very interesting case. Look what the Shulchan Aruch says. Meaning in this case, well, let's say father of the chasan or mother of the kala dies, right? Mamash is getting ready for the wedding. So look what the Shulchan Aruch says. This is in Hilchos Avelos, Shim Mem Beisiv Aleph. Mi Shehechen Kol Tzarchei Chupaso. Someone already arranged all of the needs for the chuppah. Sha'afa Pito V'Tavach Tivcho U'Mazag Yeno U'Meis Aviv Shal Chasan. So the father of the chasan and mother of the kala died, and you can't, like, if you could sell off all the food and recapture some of your expenses, then fine. But here you can't recapture any of your expenses. And if you delay the chuppah, you're going to lose what you prepared. The mother of the kala died. And there are certain adornments that were perishables. And if they don't get married now, she's not going to have it again. So he says, "Machnisin es hameis lecheder v'esachasan v'akala lechupa uba beilas mitzvah uporish." So what's the halach? We do just the Gemara says. We put the corpse in the room. We take the chasan and kala to the chupa. They get married. are able to have Biyah Rishona, and then they separate. V'cheivan shechala alav achupa havya l'didei keregel, v'noeg shiva simea mishta, v'achakach noeg shiva simea velus. So again, now once it's his Yom Tov because he get married, we observe Sheva Brachas, and then only afterwards, Shiva, v'chol shiva simea mishta, noeg b'em d'arm Shabbat Tzilek. But I will say, during Sheva Brachas, they still have to observe all of the private displays of mourning, and therefore, v'asr b'tashmi shamita. They are prohibited in marital relations. Therefore, Hilchach kol zayin yemei mishta v'zayin yemei evel hu yashin bein ha'anoshim v'hi yishena bein ha'anoshim. So we'll say, therefore, again, all 7 days. Now, what's interesting over here is the Shulchan Aruch includes this 14 days. He includes the 7 days of Sheva Brachas, bless you, as well as the 7 days of Shiva. They must be separate. I'm sorry? Rashi already brought it down. The sugya, right? They must be separate. There isn't isser. They cannot sleep together. Now, the Ramah discusses: is it just that they're sleeping together, or is there a yichud altogether throughout the entire time? We'll leave that for a different discussion. So, both say saloch alamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this construct. Now, you should just know: in general, it's rare to have a real case like this. There are cases like this that unfortunately sometimes come up. Where, let's say again, it's just a destitute family. More often than not, there are other ways in which we're able to go ahead and push off the wedding.
In the middle of the wedding, it's happened.
But that's, I want to say it's easier. I don't mean easier like in an emotional, but it's easier from a halachic perspective. Because once you're underway, it's clear that you have to just finish up. But lemaisa, again, this is the halacha. One other halacha, which we just very quickly, because remember again, so much to do with this. Okay, but we'll leave it. Okay, one last halacha, just in this Avelos Ba'apah piece. Because remember, the other thing that the Shulchan Aruch quoted was, let me read you the Shach. So the Shach says over here, he says, Kazav Ataris Kenim, Afagav Dishar Ava Motul Yisyachi, Shaini Hocha, Shishach Hadashi. Now, we'll say again, remember, the Shach picks up on the distinction made by the Gemara. Because there is no Isra Yichud by other situations of Avelos. The only reason why there's an Isra Yichud over here is why? Isha Chadasha. This is his new wife. And because this is brand new, because they're newlyweds, therefore, again, in a healthy way, the assumption is there's going to be an incredible desire to be together. And therefore, the halacha recognizes this. And therefore, the halacha mandates a separation between the two of them. One last halacha. So remember, again, we spoke about the idea of Rava. Rav Chiya said to his son that if your wife is in mourning, when you're in her presence, you have to observe the mourning practices. Rabbi say that is indeed how the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Saves, Yardaya Shin Ayin Dalit Paskins. Komisha Mis Abel of anyone who you are obligated to mourn for, Mis Abel Imo im Meslames. You have to mourn with them when they are in mourning. But you're only obligated to mourn with them when you are in their presence. But if you're not in their presence, we'll say what this would mean is if Chas V'Shalom, a man's wife, is sitting Shiva for her father, so it means that when you are in her presence, you sit on a low chair, you take off your shoes, you don't have to tear your clothing, but you have to go ahead and observe all of the same mourning practices as the person does as well. However, right, so again, I'm giving you the shorthand of this. However, the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim, deha'idna noagin lahakel ba'avelo zeh shamas ha'alim. Today, we don't do this. Today, we are makel on this. Why? De'ein zeh ela mishum kvot ha'misablim va'achshav nagu kulam limcho. Both say, it's actually very interesting because what's the idea behind this halacha? This is a sign of respect, a show of kavod for my relative who is mourning. So if my wife Chas V'Shalom is in Avelos, so again, I observe Avelos in front of her as a show of respect for her. The Ramah says, today, people are mochel on this. People forgive this honor, because remember, if something is being done out of kavod to you, you have the right to be mochel. You have the right to forgive that kavod. So today, there's almost an automatic assumed mechila. That's why, again, now you'll know, I will tell you, in some circles, this halacha is absolutely still practiced, that in the presence of someone whom you yourself would be obligated to mourn for, if they are mourning, you observe mourning practices, but at least in virtually all Ashkenazic circles, it's accepted that there's an assumed mechila. And therefore, the ma'aseh, even in the presence of my close relative who is mourning, I am not obligated to observe mourning practices. It was just not over here.
Now, with that main, therefore, you don't.